And you're tuned in once again to the Jewish Activist Network, broadcasting Wednesday nights, 12:30 to 1 a.m. Thursday morning. My name is Joe Orlo, and I'm your host here, and our call-in number is 718-569-0921.
Thank you very much for being with us. As George has said, 718-569-0921. And we are very happy that you're with us. And our website is www.jewishactivistnetwork.com. You can email us, media@jewishactivistnetwork.com. In this week's Parsha, Parsha's book, it starts with saying, "Tell God said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, and tell him that, go to him and tell him that he should send out our people, because if he doesn't, then he's going to send plagues, and terrible things are going to happen." And then he goes on to tell Moses, "that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and the sons of thy son what I have wrought upon Egypt and the signs which I have done amongst them, that you may know that I am the Lord." This is a concept that people make a mistake about. People think that, why were Pharaoh and Egypt punished, they ask, when we know that God helped to harden their hearts so that they would not let us out of Egypt during the plagues? And people wonder, how could Pharaoh and the Egyptians be punished if their hearts were hardened not to let us out? A proper analysis of the sections will reveal that the purpose of the plagues was to make an example of Pharaoh for our sake and the sake of all those who watched the proceedings. Their punishment was for what they had done prior to the plagues. This is something which we find many times. It says in the last parasha also, near the plague of Dever, right after Dever, which is the plague where the animals died. And Moses told Pharaoh that if God wanted, he could have been done with this whole thing. He could have struck you and your people with a plague, and it would have been over. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that so that Pharaoh would stay around, and to show Pharaoh his might, and so that his name, God's name, will be told in the whole world. So we have the concept now that there are times, and the Rambam talks about this, there are times that a person could be punished, that they should be punished already, because all the things that they've done bad. But it could be, for whatever reason, that they won't be punished immediately. But other things might happen in the world to show people that they will be punished. But at the point that they were supposed to be punished, the truth is they could have been killed. Now, if they would be killed, then we can see that, well, we wouldn't have a question, how could God harden their hearts afterward? It's over already. The fact that they're still living, we could view it as if they're already not here anymore. And if we think of it like that, we'd realize that the truth is, after the point of no return, what we would call the point of no return, it's really not even, it's as if they're not here anymore. And right now, the fact that they're not, for example, in the case of Pharaoh, the fact that he's not letting the Jewish people go after that point, that whole thing was a little bit, you could say, for show. In order to show, there was a specific reason to show the Jewish people and to show the rest of the world that wicked people do get punished ultimately. Okay, we have a caller.
Yaakov, are you there?
Hello, welcome to the Activist Network.
Yes, I'm there.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello, Yaakov.
Yeah, I wanted to know if there's any correlation between the 10 plagues in this week's parasha and the disaster in Haiti.
Okay, the truth is that they were supposed to be two separate topics. And thank you for calling and mentioning that. Because We did have a few people emailing and asking about that. And it really wasn't intended to be together. So I do apologize for that. But anyways, let me just mention, now that you're mentioning about Haiti, and I could hear your comments on it in either case. Basically, I have a link. We have a link on the site to an H.org article. And we find that it is very interesting just to show how people, Jewish people, are in general, Rachamonim, Baishonim, Gomel, Chasonim. In other words, we are merciful, we have no shame, and we do good works. And sometimes to our own detriment, whether Haiti specifically is our own detriment, I'm not saying that, but the Israel sent in field hospitals, because after what happened in Haiti, there was a tremendous an earthquake, and people are now dying just from all types of infections. And so Israel went in there, they set up field hospitals with all types of equipment. They were there before others. Why are they doing that? I think probably a combination of factors. I think I would be down the council, so I would say simply just because of compassion. And
there are other people besides the Israelis, though, aren't there?
There are, but let's put it this way. Israel is a nation which is very, very small. And I think they really set up real medical facilities as opposed to others who didn't. And they were there before everybody else. And they are in the news about it.
And let me just add, this is not a reflection on the people living in Haiti, but certainly, as far as I know, the government of Haiti, when they have those UN resolutions and votes against the Jewish people, I'm not aware that Haiti ever abstains or votes against it. You know, so I think that I'm only mentioning that to say that also sets apart the Jews living in Israel from maybe other groups that are
right.
coming in and helping.
Right. And the truth is, like what you're saying, I'm not so sure. They do these things to their own detriment. Maybe they think they can win favor in the eyes of the world also. I'm not exactly sure what's going through their minds. But based on history, that it's not going to help them.
Yaakov, what were you saying? Go ahead, Yaakov.
Yeah. No, I just thought that this is all political. There's not because of Gomel Chassadim.
You think it's more of a political reason, you think?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's probably a mixture of factors. It's probably a mixture of factors. But they definitely, if there's a thought that they're going to gain brownie points, if history's any indication, they're not going to get anything. And Joe, if what you're saying is true, that Haiti is amongst those, although you really have to know how the government works if you want. If you're talking about if they're not abstaining from resolutions against Israel, it's something to take into account. I don't think that that Israel should. No, let's not talk about Haiti, but if it was actually a real enemy, and the people they were enemies, I don't think it's a proper thing to go and help enemies.
No, I don't think that's the case here with Haitians.
I'm not sure if that's really. I don't know if you could say that being the case specifically.
Not at all.
So
and also, I don't know if there's any correlation with the Brown winning in Massachusetts. The Obama's testament has to do with the template. It's like a dictator falling, like a power.
Joe, did you hear that?
I don't know if you were able to hear. But the question was that Obama's on his way down. Perhaps as the Republicans rise during the at this point in the election cycle, so the Democrats and including the president, they're on their way down on a political side. And
they're trying to be like dictators and they're falling to take power.
Yeah, they're definitely doing dictator type of things against Israel. Joe, you'll speak about that a little bit later in the show.
Okay,
we actually have a little bit to talk about that.
Okay, Yaakov, thank you.
Thank you for bringing up those points.
Lila,
all right, have a good night.
Good night.
You too. Okay, so that was a nice call. It was a mistake. I mean, if anybody wants to get an email about what our show is going to be, you send an email to media@jewishactivistnetwork.com. And media@jewishactivistnetwork.com. And we will send you an email.
Okay, we have another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Nice to hear from you, David.
Yeah, it's been a long time, you know, and I think tonight, you know, I said I definitely was going to call in tonight because I just want to say, as a Gentile and as a black man, you know, who is of Caribbean descent, though born here in America,
yeah,
and someone who has always loved the Jewish people, I want to give a hearty Yasher Koach to Jews from America in particular, and Israel for what you are doing in Haiti. And I do believe with all my heart that it is about Gemilas Chasodim, about, you know, doing acts of kindness. Now, my background is not Haitian, but, you know, I believe, and I've been saying this ever since I've been aware, you know, of what Israel has been doing in particular. If this is not a wake-up call, you know, to the anti-Semites within the black community, if this is not a wake-up call to the followers of Louis Farrakhan and Jeremiah Wright, you know, and demagogues like that, that in fact Jews do care about other people, you know, then I don't know what will. I don't know what will be the wake-up call. And I think this is a perfect opportunity, and I'd like to appeal, you know, to those within my community who are still followers of those racist demagogues, you know, to go on the internet or read, you know, do some homework and realize what the Jewish people have been doing ever since this tragedy took place in Haiti, and open up your minds, you know, and stop listening to those, you know, who wish to fill your heart and mind with poison against the Jews. You know, and
that's really kind of you.
You know, and I did not go to my shul this past Shabbos because I was under the weather with a cold, but I spoke to one of the rabbis in my shul. You know, it's a Chabad synagogue, and we were talking about Haiti, and he went on the internet, and, you know, Chabad alone sent thousands of shluchim from America and from other places around the world to go to Haiti, and told them to stay and you know, to take as much time as they want, you know, to help with the rescue effort, you know, because you know, at the end of the day, we're all God's children, and you know, there's a quote from Rabbi Akiva, which I'm sure you both know, and I'll say it in Hebrew and then I'll translate it. Amar Rabbi Akiva, V'ahavta l'riyacha kamocha zechwal gadol b'tor, that Rabbi Akiva said to love one's neighbor as oneself is the greatest principle in the Torah.
David, you very, very eloquently put. I want to thank you very much for that call.
Yeah. Oh, you're quite welcome, and I want you both to keep up the good work, you know, and again, I say, you know, to my black brethren, you know, don't believe the hype, you know, the Jewish people have always, you know, been our best friends, even since the civil rights days.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
As many of our callers, many of our listeners should know, David was our first caller ever on our program when we started just over 3 years ago, and he has a special place here on the Jewish Activist Network.
Yes. Now I'm going to play a short clip, and in the meantime, we'll be taking a caller after that. Our phone number is 718-569-0921.
Much more than what they hear. So we let drop the satellite down so they can try to call people. Get people more sophisticated hospital. You don't get them better
Okay. Unfortunately, the recording is not really coming through clearly, so we're going to stop it. But you can listen to these recordings if you'd like. If you go onto our website, JewishActivistNetwork.com, and you can click on, there's a link within the top, talking about this show, a link to aish.org. It's just showing these clips to really about Haiti and two different news clips where they're showing all of the field hospitals that Israel brought in. Okay. Now, going back to our parsha, we're going to speak a little bit right after. I just want to once more talk about the parsha. And this is the concept that is very important. A lot of times, if you see people are forced into situations, if they're basically a good person, there's free will. There is free will, no question about it. But there is a point that it is possible at times that free will be taken away if the person is beyond the point and there's some other reason that the person has to be punished. In the case of Pharaoh, for example, where the free will was taken away was after he was getting hit with the plagues, and possibly a normal person, after he being hit with the plagues, he might have relented. But had he relented, then it would have been short with no plague. The whole point of God showing us in Egypt something that we will remember forever will not have been made clear. Because after the plagues, it would have been too much for them. They would have relented. So the point of it, so it was only in that case that to let them overcome. And I've heard people giving the shot that the plagues were, his heart was hardened to allow him to withstand something which is abnormal. Because normally he would have given in because of all the things that were happening to Egypt. So in the sense that he was allowed to, in a way, he was giving the strength to withstand it, and his heart was hardened even though all that was happening. All that was done for the sake of an example. Okay. Do we have a caller now?
Moshe, you're on the air here with us on the Jewish Activist Network. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm just a little confused. I mean, I hear you talking about the Haiti thing, and I see CNN had I saw on the website the links that you had, and I'm just trying to figure out, didn't Israel do all this for even for the people in Gaza? Didn't they, you know, bring Arabs to their hospitals? And why is this any wonder or anything so different than anything that they've done in the past? I mean, you've never seen any of that before on the media, so why all of a sudden this is there?
That's a good question. The fundamental difference is that Gaza, those people are their enemies. And they do it to their, they definitely do it there to their own detriment. And those are people who hate them. And even what they do, they won't show it. You could see that the media is showing, and they show it, everything negative to Israel. And Israel should not at all be allowing them into hospitals, in my opinion. And the reason is because you don't let your enemies who are trying to kill you into hospitals. And you don't go and save them. If they sworn to kill you, so that's the reason. But it's true, they do it. That's the amazing thing; they do it even to their own enemies. And over here, it makes more sense. It's not their enemies. It would be nice if they would really not be their enemies, and would even in the UN would vote with on Israel's side. Not that the UN is so important. Unfortunately, Israel's not going to get the favor of the world. That's clear. There's no question about it. Nevertheless, each individual one who votes against Israel is showing themselves to be an enemy.
I think
and possibly they should be treated as such.
I think Moshe made an excellent point to reiterate it. He was saying that when the IDF, when the Army for the Government in Israel goes in and does a military action, that they'll go and take the wounded, whether it's the people that are civilians who are collateral, you know, getting hit with collateral damage, or whether it's the actual people they're targeting. Whoever's there, they'll take them and give them the best medical treatment possible, apparently, according to reports. And his question was, why isn't that reported in the media? And I think my answer might be is that the media, I don't want to overgeneralize, but to a great extent, much of the media tries to have a narrative of the Jews being set up as the strong, and I could use the word quote-unquote bad guys, with the Gazans as the weak, good guys. And this would complicate things. And one of the reasons we have this program is that a lot of what is in the news is subtle and complex, and it can't always be boiled down into a soundbite. And that's why we take the time to discuss some of these issues in depth. And it's not always simple or clear, perhaps, what we're saying. We attempt to make it that way, but it doesn't always come out that way, because in reality, life does not always come across as simple and clear. And I think it were the media to cover truthfully what goes on in the conflict between Jew and Arab, it would make for a much more interesting narrative, but it wouldn't be as clear-cut as what they want to project to the public. In this case, it doesn't interfere with anything to say that people from all around the world are coming, including Jews from the land of Israel. So the media covers it.
Now, Joe, there's another news item which has been coming up and out on a constant basis. You've spoken about it before, and that is the enmity, you might say, of certain sections of the United States government. And in this case, we're going to talk about the administration. There's been people talking about, actually, it was a John Batchelor show, and he was talking about it. He was talking about that Obama's having discussions right now with the Palestinian Authority, with those Arabs, about a two-state solution with only Arab soldiers. And apparently, the discussions are not involving Israel at all, and specifically are avoiding Israeli soldiers on the border of this new Palestinian state with pre-67 borders. They're also discussing doing this with international soldiers in Israel on the Jerusalem Division border. And it seems like they're going to force it on Israel. And it also seems that America will soon come with the process of publicly making a declaration that America supports a two-state solution with pre-67 borders on their own. So here you have it. Israel does not gain anything by trying to compromise. Zero. And this has been the way it's been going for the last 40 years, starting with Sinai, with Menachem Begin giving that, trying to make peace. Israel's not on the maps of the Palestinians. Israel is again fighting for its life. And that's what happens. They did not listen to what Ademir Kahana said, which is something which is an obvious thing. All you have to do is think, and you realize that if an enemy is on your land and they don't want you to be there, you cannot have both peoples on the same land. It can't be. And if it'll be, ultimately there's going to be war, and there's going to be fighting. That's what's been going on. Unfortunately, Israel is still refusing to see that. When I say Israel, what I mean is the government, because there are many normal people in Israel. But right now, those normal people are not really allowed to speak, because it is considered to be, quote-unquote, not part of the law, whatever that means, to talk about expulsion of the Arab enemy by force. But this is something which Israel is going to have to. Israel is going to have to deal with against their will, because you cannot have logic dictates. This is not even an issue of opinion. This is something which is 100% logic dictates that if the enemy remains there, they will fight and will want to destroy Israel, according to what they say, believe what they say. And ultimately, Israel will have to deal with it from a much weaker place, when the borders are smaller, when people are demoralized. Then they're going to have to be forced against their will to deal with it. Why don't they deal with it now? Why didn't they deal with it before? Why do they not let people have an open and free discussion about the topic. This is something which is a big problem. If you know people in Eretz Yisrael who live there, talk to them about this problem. Tell them, why don't they maybe raise their voices and talk about this? Because people in Israel don't even talk about it so much. They talk about it, they whisper about it. And it's something which they better stop whispering about if they want to save, if they want to save their own lives. Well, we might have a caller.
Let's go ahead and take a call. So, okay. Michael, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, am I on the air?
You are on the air, yeah.
You're on the air, but make your point very short and clear.
Well, make it very short. You just mentioned the word expulsion of the Palestinian Arabs as if that's a new idea. How about
1940? No, not a new idea. That's an old idea.
...of Palestinians and changed the name of 400 towns from Arabic to Hebrew.
I don't
change the name of 400 towns to Arabic to Hebrew. I'm not exactly sure I understand your point. Of course, in a Jewish country, of course, the Jewish name should remain. Okay. Thank you very much for your call. Okay.
It's a dire situation, facing the Jews living in the land of Israel, and by extension us too, as we're one nation. You have a president who's in his first term, possibly being on the way to being a lame duck president, in other words, being in a position where he can't possibly win a second election, and therefore he may do things that are much riskier than he might otherwise do. And if President Obama sees himself in that position, we know that one of the first things that he did when he became president was, I think, to call Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority. And so this has been a priority from day one for him. And if he sees himself as not continuing in office, he'll use every resource of his office to go ahead and push this so-called peace process. So I'm not familiar with what Mr. Batchelor was reporting on, but certainly the idea that the president may be in direct contact with Arab leaders and dealing directly with them without including anyone else as far as setting up a two-state solution, I think that's perfectly reasonable to consider, even if we don't have the hard evidence right in front of us right now.
Right. And it's a wake-up call for Israel, for people like Netanyahu, and for all of us to understand that there's no such thing as we're going to give in a little bit, and then maybe, and then hopefully we'll even take care of the situation. That's a lot of these people in Israel think. They think, they got everything under control, and we'll give in a little bit, and we'll delay. No, there's no such thing like that. Everything has to be straight on the table, a no. When they push you, this has to be a no. And it has to be not just a no, but you have to actively take away the threat. You can't leave it the way it is. It's a situation which is untenable right here in Israel. It's untenable, which means it cannot remain. If you don't do anything about it, it's going to do something to you.
We have just about another minute left on the air. I want to remind our listeners that we broadcast every week from 12 midnight Wednesday night to 1 a.m. The first half hour is Jewish Datelines. And then from 12:30, actually it's Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. into 1 a.m. Thursday morning, we're on the air here with the Jewish Activist Network segment. We also continue online right at 1 a.m. As we go off the air on AM 620, we continue online. And if you go to our website, jewishactivistnetwork.com. Again, that's jewishactivistnetwork.com. You can continue and hear us as we continue speaking on these topics.
And once again, if you're interested in getting an email, media@jewishactivistnetwork.com, feel free to take a look at our website.
Again, that's media, M-E-D-I-A, @jewishactivistnetwork.com. You can get our emails and feel free to call us anytime at our on-the-air and off-the-air number, 718-569-0921. Good night. And then we continue now on the air, online.